Well, we had a long night of storms here last night, and everybody's kind of waiting for everything to kind of drain off after the flooding and high winds we experienced yesterday, but that's where we are.
Well, my yard looks good in Springfield, but I'm cutting the grass every week. Well,
you will have to now going forward. Tell you what, there's a busy time. There's so much going on. So in the time we have, let's start off with the big story, Israel and Hamas. You know, just a little break here, Senator, real quick. I was having a conversation with Dr. John Jackson, the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. You know, John.
Very well.
We were talking about Israel and Hamas, and I used the word winning. And he said, wait a second, define winning. And that caught me by attention because I think that's an important point, simple but important point.
Well, I think all of us, I hope, will agree that what happened October 7th last year, where 1,200 Israelis were killed by terrorists, Hamas terrorists, is a ghastly atrocity. And that Israel, as every other nation, has the right not only to exist but to defend itself. And if you're living next door to thousands and thousands of terrorists, the only way that you can have any peace of mind is by controlling, or at least trying to control, the situation. But I'd say John is a very thoughtful guy. He's probably reflecting on the fact that even if Hamas is crippled to a point where it can't attack Israel, the real question is where we're going to go forward. What is the next step in this situation for the West Bank and for Gaza? You don't have any real victory until that's resolved.
And, you know, I believe that was the point he was trying to make. And, of course, this the context, ceasefire. I mean, published sources say you were the first senator to call for a ceasefire. Of course, we talked about it last time you and I spoke. But, you know, is the subject now ceasefire, or is it we're not going to let you have any more ammo, any more bombs until we get a commitment on Rafah? Is that the conversation now, or is it ceasefire?
Tom, it is so complicated, but the bottom line is this. When Israelis fired back against Hamas and the terrorists to stop them from attacking, it was understandable. But unfortunately, what they call collateral damage, the people who just happen to be living nearby, is so ghastly that we've been killing two or three innocent people in Gaza for every terrorist that's eliminated. You can just do the math and figure out how in the world do you win the hearts and minds of Palestinians in Gaza or the West Bank if so many innocent people are dying and 70% of them are women and children. The stories coming out of there are ghastly in terms of the humanitarian disaster that's been created. What Biden has said to Netanyahu and the leaders in Israel is you've got to have a more surgical approach to this. You're killing too many innocent people, and the United States does not want to have blood on its hands.
You know, when it comes to this ammo shipment, the contracts were approved. All the T's were crossed and the I's dotted. I mean, I'm having a hard time describing the word that I should use when America says we're not going to send more ammo until you do this. I mean, we have the contracts. It's all been approved. This round that's being stopped, it didn't even come from this round of financial support, the $96 billion. I mean, are we reneging on the deal? Delay it? What's the right word?
You know, the United States and taxpayers are generous in supporting military interests around the world that share our values. And that's a bottom line, sharing of values. And what Biden has said is Netanyahu's strategy in Gaza is just unacceptable with so many innocent people being killed. And they've got to be more careful or they're not going to receive the assistance from us that was promised. I don't find any problem with that. I mean, to think that we would hand over all this equipment and ammunition and say, do with it with what you wish, is just unacceptable. We want people who share our values to move forward with alliances and with cooperation.
Quickly, before I move on to the next subject here, real quick, and SIU graduations this weekend, Senator, by the way. Campus responses, these protests, pro-Israeli, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas. Do you have a thought here?
Well, I think the bottom line is the bottom line. We all appreciate the Bill of Rights gives us certain freedoms in the United States, which other countries don't even consider possible. I mean, what Putin has done to dissenters in his country is basically just kill them, just to kill them. And that is his approach. Ours is, even if a person is saying something unpopular and we object with, you have certain rights in America that we value very much. Having said that, there is a line you cannot cross. Violence is part of that. Hate crimes are part of that. the whole notion that you can interrupt the functioning of the university, the graduation and such, in my mind, goes way too far. I will fight to the death for a person's right to express their point of view, even if I hate it. But when it comes to that kind of conduct, violence, and that kind of demonstration, I think it's gone way too far.
You know, you just used the term bottom line as the bottom line. So for next this morning, with the bottom line, what is the bottom line? What's the do not cross line for the national debt? And the reason why I ask this is in context. The gross domestic product of this country annually, $28.78 trillion. The national debt, the government's debt, $34 trillion.
Well, we have to ask ourselves a basic question. Is America growing and is it moving in the right direction? I believe the economy is growing the right way. We're creating more jobs in this administration than ever in the history of the United States. There are certain areas of the economy which are frustrating. One of them is home building and housing in this country. The second is the indebtedness of Americans, particularly college students and their families. I mean, these are things which we have to be concerned about. But overall, give me a choice of what country in the world I want to live in, and it's this one. And the opportunities for my kids and grandkids are so unlimited that people are begging to come into the United States from all over the world. So, yes, be more responsible in the way we approach these things, but don't lose sight of the bottom line. This is a growing economy, and we want to keep it that way.
Gallup poll says the number one U.S. problem, according to the people in their poll, is the southern border. Is there any meaningful, impactful legislation to draft to address the southern border in D.C., or should the Biden administration consider reinstating some of the rules that existed when he took office?
I'm going to walk right into the minefield here, Tom, and tell you that we had a bipartisan bill put together by James Lankford, conservative Republican from Oklahoma, and two Democrats. They put a bill together which gave the president the authority to shut down the border when there were too many people showing up, and quicker resolution of the future status of people rather than letting them roam around the United States for years. And one man, I'm just going to say it, Tom, it's a reality. One man, Donald Trump, said to the Republicans in Congress, I don't want you to solve this problem. I want to have this issue into November. And he persuaded them not to support the bipartisan legislation. The Democrats were for it. The president was for it. Trump said, no, we don't want to go forward. That's the end of the story, and the mess we have is not getting any better.
You know, you have a ton of stuff, and I read every press release that comes out of your office because it's the judiciary. I mean, on and on the list goes on topic-wise. And, you know, it's interesting with all these big headline stories, sometimes we don't see some of the smaller items. One of the items you're working on, e-cigarettes.
I go to high schools, even junior high schools, and the administrators say to me, do you have any idea what's going on with these kids? They're smoking these e-cigarettes and vaping, and it worries the heck out of the administrators. Ask kids if they'll be honest with you. They'll tell you that a lot of their fellow students are doing that. And the problem is, Tom, the bottom line is they're illegal products. They should not be sold in the United States. The Food and Drug Administration and Department of Justice are not doing their job. I've been raising hell with them for a long, long time. This is an important issue to me. But they're not cooperating. They can do a lot better.
You know, it's interesting. This has been a subject. When Lisa Madigan was Attorney General in Illinois, said, we need to do something about this. And, you know, that's been a while. So, you know, still trying to address this.
These kids think this is harmless. You know, their bubblegum flavors and all the rest of that. It has the chemical nicotine included in it, which is addictive. And these kids move from vaping to real tobacco, and dangers start multiplying. We are really dropping the ball on this, and the Food and Drug Administration has done a terrible job.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, I talked about all these big stories and things you're dealing with on a regular basis, but you're also working on an FAA reauthorization vote. I'm curious about two issues. One, the effect on regional downstate airports in Illinois and how important it is to them. But also, there was an amendment to this Federal Aviation Reauthorization Act that would provide $6 billion in funding for the Affordable Connectivity Act and $3 billion for the Rip and Replace program. The amendment would require a vote in the Senate or approval of Senate leadership to attach it to the FAA legislation. You've got more than one item here.
We do. And the reason we have that is because we're facing a deadline. And the money for connectivity is a big, important thing for downstate Illinois. A lot of communities just don't have access to high-speed internet, and that really stops them economically from attracting and keeping businesses. So, yes, we're putting that in there, and I support it.
So, before I let you go this morning, there's a lot going on. Before I let you go, what would you want to talk about and tell us is going on in Washington, D.C., or the world that we should know about here in Southern Illinois?
Well, I can just tell you this. With all of the challenges we face, I think a lot of people say things are worse than ever. But the United States' strength in the world is still number one, and I'm proud of that fact. We've got to use that strength in a thoughtful way to support allies and promotion of democracy. We live in a dangerous world with Russia and China, for example, and Iran, and we have to be prepared. But we have the best in the world when it comes to our military, and I think our leadership in the military and many aspects of government is really something we can be proud of.
You know, the listeners are texting in the questions, and I'm going to distill them down into a single subject. Are we applying the rules equally for U.S. assistance to both Israel and the Ukraine?
I believe we are. And keep in mind that the Ukrainian situation is one that we're being tested. Vladimir Putin is a bad person. He does not have the best interests of the United States at heart. And we have to be prepared to stop him there for fear that he's going to go into Poland or the Baltics next. I don't want Americans headed off to war. That to me is the last straw. In this situation, if we stand behind the Ukrainians, they can stop Putin and his terrible advances into their country.
Senator Dick Durbin. Senator, as always, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tom.